Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Mum. Happy Mother's Day. I brought my mum. I scored a Mother's Day gift because Harry thought the white things were marshmallows. And he wanted to share them with me. He was quite disappointed when we opened them up. Phil and I are just going to share a few thoughts today, just about things that we've learnt about God from our mums, things that we've seen. Doesn't mean we've implemented them particularly well, but they are things that we've learnt and that we've seen. But we thought we might give our mums a chance just to share a little story about us. So we might watch a little video of Phil's mum and my mum, and then we'll get back there. The amount of times I've picked Philip up from the police station. Finally, we had an hour. You're a good boy, Philip. We're just going to share a few thoughts with you, things about God, or characteristics about God that we've learned from our mum, or we've noticed from our mum, or things that we feel like they've done a great job of kind of being an example of, showing us, and the things that some of them are definite works in progress for us, some of them are things that we try and implement, some of them are just lost causes, they're so unattainable that I've just forgotten about them. And it's also for Phil and I, it's a blatant opportunity just to honour our mums today. You know, like, what better gift than to preach a message about how good your mum is? That's far better than the trinket my brother's going to pick up from 7-Eleven on the way to lunch. And so I will be the favourite son today. And, you know, that's the way it should be. For me, the first thing that I've learned about God and the stuff that might not have been very important to her, but was actually very important to me. I said, I played basketball cards pretty avidly, and I needed one here. I needed just a couple. I was probably 12 or 13. I needed a couple just to complete the set of basketball cards, and no matter how many packs I bought, I just could not get a hold of these two or three cards. And I remember Mum going down and organising them and ordering these three cards so that I could complete my set. It probably really didn't. She probably took no great joy in, you know, the basketball cards, but because it was important to me, she made it important to her. And Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And I always think of like that miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. While it's significant because it was his first miracle, it's all about him helping someone out and helping someone save face. So in the grand scheme of the world, it didn't necessarily change the world as such. It wasn't healing a crippled person. It wasn't moving a mountain. It was helping someone save face and helping a family friend out. And I always think that, you know, in the grand scheme of God, organizing everything, one or two people, you know, or a family being a bit embarrassed isn't a big deal. But to that family, it was a big deal. And I reckon that's cool because God cares about the big stuff in our life, but he also cares about the small stuff that might be big stuff to us. So the first thing I've learned about God from my mum is that God cares about the big, significant stuff, but God also cares about the small stuff.
Philip. The only time I ever get called Philip is when I'm in trouble. Philip. Well, in no particular order, some things that stand out for me is one of the noticeable things for me is my mum's maternal instinct. She's quite protective, and when I was going through later, primary school and high school, my mum was known as the dragon lady. And you see this meeting my lady on the screen. Girls used to ring, ask me about homework, of course, just to ask me what do they need to do for homework. And my mum would answer the phone and just go, "Who is this?" And they would say, and my mum would literally just go, "Don't ever ring my son again," and just hang up, and that was it. And it was just like, that's how my mum dealt with anyone that kind of she didn't necessarily think was good for me. So she was just like a dragon lady, but her maternal instincts would kick in, and at the time I didn't thank her, but now I do thank her. She was like that. And, you know, maybe, I guess, as we're going through these things, your experience of your mum may not have been as rich or as blessed as what Mike and I have had. And I guess I'm conscious and aware of that, but I think what we're going to try to do is to emphasise out of our experiences and how our mum's role model, Christ-like character, is that within a community, it's certainly clear at Compass, not perfect, and we're far away from it, but what we need to understand is that we have a loving, caring God that is perfect in every single way, especially filling those voids and gaps that we have in our parents' life. And so, you know, may not have had a protective mother like I had, but we have this incredible God who is likened to and called the name of shepherd. And that we are the sheep, we don't go into the sheep, but we're the sheep, and he's a shepherd. And he's that protective, guiding, leading shepherd. And you know, there's lots of verses that talk about God being a protector. And I love that. Psalm 18 says, "The Lord is alive, my protector is praiseworthy. The God who delivers me is exalted as King." Isaiah 25:4, "For you are a protector for the poor, a protector for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, a shade from the heat." And so that's one of the things that, you know, I'm appreciative of with my mum, but also with God, that he's our protector.
The next one for me is that God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. So I'm remembering that these are things I've learned, that they're not things that I can implement in my life. So my mum is incredibly loving and calm. She's like the New Testament God. You know, lots of love and grace and mercy and compassion. And I'm probably more Old Testament God. I'm a smiter, and my mum's a lover and a forgiver. But that's not to say that she was a walkover or a pushover. Far from it. She had this quiet strength about her. She was fair. She punished us when we deserved it. That two times. But she was an incredibly compassionate judge of people in that sense. That, like, I remember my mum just loving, and my dad too. Like, our home was the home for, like, the downcast and the outtrodden. And, like, I remember growing up, and the life group that my mum and dad ran was this eclectic mixture of people that just did not fit in anywhere else. And as a kid, I was quite embarrassed about having some of those people in my house, but my parents just loved them and cared for them and stuff. And, you know, and at the same time, my mum, you know, she wasn't, like I said, she wasn't a walkover, she wasn't massive or yelling or getting, like, really cross or anything, but she had this thing where she used to just look at us and just go, "I'm disappointed, Mum." And it used to just cut us to the core. I would much rather her punished me or smacked me or taken stuff away. That was the thing that killed us, when she just looked at us and said that. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger. He is abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished." And I, for one, am just exceptionally grateful that God's slow to anger, that God's quick to forgive, and I live in constant awareness of his grace and compassion and mercy on my life.
One of the things about my mum that I really admire, and I've learned a lot from, is a sense of timing. And we know that God's timing is perfect, and we don't always understand that. It's not sometimes it's all right, sometimes 6 months or a year later we understand why things happen and why it's gone that particular way. But I just like my mum's sense of timing and patience, if you like. And maybe that's because I was child number six and she finally got it right. But, you know, it's just, you know, her sense of timing was impeccable. Like, you know, it's a watch and it's still doing. My mum, she knows when to speak and when to listen. She knows when to act and when to wait, when to stand firm and when to submit, when to be strong and when to be weak and vulnerable, when to laugh, when to cry, when to fight and when to forgive, when to discipline and when to hug. And I just remember her sense of timing. One moment I was going through puberty, and as I have, and was going through puberty, 13 years of age, just being a bit of a handful. And for no particular reason, Mum just got out from school, which she never did. We always had to walk home and stuff. And she just took us to the fish and chip shop, and we just sat on a park bench. And I don't particularly even remember what we spoke about. She just, the fact that she took the time out with having six kids and a full life, God knows how she did that. But she would actually take the time out when it was really needed. Her sense of timing was impeccable. And, you know, I learned a lot from my mum. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." And Acts 1:7 in the New English version says, "He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business, and God's timing is perfect." And I just want to encourage you today that, you know, if you just continue to rest in him, that his timing certainly is perfect.
Next thing I learned about my mum, next thing I learned about God from my mum, almost the same thing, not quite, is that God is always approachable. I always have God's ear. My mum, throughout the journey, has always just taken the time to listen. Whether it's she's in the middle of doing something, whether she's having her own little crisis, or she's stressed, or whatever it is, she's always stopped whatever it is, and when I'm able to talk, she's just sat and she's listened. And sometimes she doesn't even have an answer, but she just listens. And that's been really important for me, just to have, like, my mum and my dad as well, but just as a sounding board. And, you know, I love it that it doesn't matter whether it's a good thing or a bad thing or whatever, if you just take the time to listen. There's been times over the years where at 3 a.m. I've given a little knock on the door and gone in and kind of gone, you're awake, like that, until mum roused herself. And you know, she sat and listened to me at 3 a.m, or, you know, I might have borrowed my parents' car and that might have been dented somehow. And, you know, I've come at 3 a.m. to let them know this little scratch down the side, you know, and a few speeding tickets or whatever it is, you know. But she's always taken that time to listen, and it's never, you know, appeared to be a problem for her. And I like that expression, like, that we have God's ear. Psalm 17:6 says, "I'm praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray." Psalm 55:17 says, "Evening and morning and noon, I will pray and cry out, and he shall hear my voice." So at all times we have God's ear. Whenever and wherever you find yourself, whenever you cry out to God, he will be listening. There's that scene in Bruce Almighty where Jim Carrey's assumed the role of God from Morgan Freeman, and he's hearing all the voices all at once and all the emails, and it's just completely overwhelming. And I can't fathom how God sits up there and listens to everybody's prayers at once with equal attentiveness, but he does. So it doesn't matter wherever you are, you always have God's ear. You can always cry out to him. You can
always speak to him, and he will always listen.
Yeah, that's right.
Another thing that my mum has got more beautifully for me is living a life by faith, walking by faith, not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I'm blessed to have a mum that is certainly role model Jesus to me, that I have got somebody that I can follow and imitate. I know what it's like to have somebody that is living out the Word of God. And as a parent, I mean, more and more I'm realizing that the importance of this consistency in what I do in demonstrating role modeling to my kids a life of faith and what that means in the big and the small ways. And mum role modeled just so consistently a life of faith, living by her prayer life and reading the Bible, seeing them pray, listening to her pray, seeing her read the Bible, that kind of stuff regularly, and just in her words, in her actions, very consistent with discipline my mother was with me. And I guess I'm kind of grateful for that. But just consistent in those things and commitments and following through, and very much with my mum, we knew, and I still do know what is important to my mum. And so if people had to say, well, I would say these things are important to feel. For my mum, it would easily just go God, family, church. That's how my mum is. It's just, it's a no-brainer. But if people have to ask, or sum you up, what's important to you, what would they say about you? What would people say about me? And so, I think my mum living by faith is really, really annoying sometimes, because as a family, dad being a pastor and us not having much, 6 kids, mum would constantly just be giving stuff away, and it's like, mum, but we need that. Mum goes, no, they need it more. And I remember when we had a pawpaw tree in our front yard in Cairns, and I'm real excited because it was a pawpaw on the fan, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to actually have a pawpaw. And like, mum and dad lived by the principle of first fruit, so whatever comes first, they give away. And it's like, just when it gets right, that it's a, and then it's like, now we're giving it away. It's like, are you for real? And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. But, that was just the way it was. But, and that's how mum and dad lived their life. And it's been a real challenge to me, I guess, to walk by faith and not by sight.
The last one of my list of things that I've learned is that God takes great delight in me. And I know my mum seriously loves me and takes great delight in me, lesser extent my brother. And, it's not that good a bloke, really. Matt, hi, you're right there. Oh, that's awkward. Nice kid. But my mum has, it's just been amazing. Like I said, she's always listened to our problems and always listened to us and stuff. But at the same time, she's taken great delight in any of our accomplishments. Like, my mum was the one sticking the certificate of participation on the fridge. You know, like, and just celebrating the fact we showed up. You know, I remember the one bad game of indoor cricket I played where I made, there's one, mate. I know you don't think there was, but there was. There's one. I made, -5 and dropped about 9 catches or something. And my mum just in the car on the way home going, well done. You did such a great job. And I was going, did you even see? Were you even watching? She's going, no, you tried really hard. But my mum, you know, she just takes great delight in me. And I can see she just takes great delight in our family. And when we're all together and, you know, the kids are there and everyone's together, you know, she's happy. And she just takes great delight in that whole family and us all being together. And I probably haven't really understood that until I've had my own kids. And I just go, I just love hanging out with these guys. I just love being around them and playing with them and doing life with them and hanging out with them and stuff. You know, and that's how God feels about you. Despite our faults and failings, he just takes such great delight in you. He just looks at you and he wants to spend time with you. He wants to be a part of your world. Psalm 18:19 says, he delivered me because he delights in me. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will rejoice of you with singing. So God absolutely delights in you. He loves you. He is proud of you. He has a great desire to just do life with you and be a part of your world.
I think the last thing that I've got about my mum, we've talked about our mums, because as I said, we're so blessed. And the last one for me is that my mum and loved we are and how important that we are to our mum, which is just an incredible capacity, obviously, on my mum's behalf to be able to love my dad and six kids. And as the family's expanded with in-laws and the grandkids and stuff, you know, my mum has this incredible capacity to be so selfless and, you know, just all the meals that she's made in the house was like Birch Street for years and just people coming in and out and all of that sort of stuff. Mum was just never a hassle. It's just always like, yep, I'm bringing four mates over after we played footy. It's like, Mum, can we stay for dinner? And it's like, I don't know how Mum made food out of nothing, but she just always just managed to come up with something. And it was just like that attitude of being selfless, putting others before herself, and just even her own life, and just putting her whole life on hold for her kids was just amazing. I mean, just to think about being pregnant for 54 months of her life, my goodness. And, you know, there's sadly, there was a miscarriage in there too, so it would have been even more than that. But obviously, you know, that in itself too, it's got to take a toll on your body and practically, and having to live with my dad, man, she's so selfless. You know, had these incredible boys that she could raise just to be the wind beneath her wings to lift her back up again. But I won't go into that. It's about mum, it's not about me. But, you know, I think that this is one of the greatest ways I think my mum's role model, Jesus, to me, is this area being selfless, that it was very much true in our household. It's so not about you, and it's about others. And to live that life out is where true reward and fulfillment and satisfaction comes. It's not what do I get out of life, but what can I give? How can I give somebody else a hand up? And I think for me, if I had to try to wrap it up, you know, could my mum be like this? I think the answer is yes. Out of Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And my mum has not just lived this for a short term. This has been as long as I've known her. And prior to me being around, I know that she was like this, but know that like Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I think, you know, that same attitude that Jesus would humble himself. And I think they are certain words that I'll use to describe my mum. Incredibly humble, holy. I'm going to use the word happy because joy doesn't start with an H, but happy for me is joyful. Joy is different to happiness, I believe. But you know, that's my mum. She's humble, old, and a joyful lady that I've been so blessed. And yet we have this God that initiated, like your mum said, when we had communion this morning, initiated. He put it out there first for us. Sometimes, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, trying to express my feelings to Nat to let her know that I actually liked her, and I found out via a third party that she liked me, and I'm like, yes, this is awesome. No, but it's that kind of like weird feeling you like someone, you've got to put it out there and you just say, you know, what response are they going to give me if I tell them or they find out I like them? Are they going to sort of like shut me down and just go, hey, you're really nice guy? That kind of, but God's gone, he's the one that's gone first and said, hey, I'm going to give you my son. I can't give you a greater demonstration of my love or putting it out there than giving you my son, Jesus Christ, who walked on the planet and lived the exemplary life that you did of selflessness. Michael referred to it, you know, Jesus putting others before himself to ultimately giving his life for us. We have this God that is constantly trying to remind us and show us how much he loves us and cares for us. And so this morning, if your family dynamic, your upbringing wasn't as blessed as what Michael and I have, we don't stand here in any way to gloat in that. We are truly blessed. I mean, we didn't get to choose the families we were born into, and we thank God we were born into those families. But I believe that we have a God that is trying to reach out to you and show you these things in such a pure and a perfect form. Never experienced it. All I can say is, like, you just got to give it a go. You just got to allow God in, allow him to show you what it means to be loved and to be protected and to be delighted in and to be cherished and to be thought of and to be known and to be adored. And if you've never experienced that, then all I can say is, like, you just got to try. And so God said that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has eternal life. And so the best gift that I can give any mum on Mother's Day, or anyone for that matter, on any day, is the opportunity to give the salvation. And it's nothing that I can do, but it's something that God has already given us through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. So could I just ask that every head be bowed and just eyes closed just for a moment as we come to a close this morning. We've been paralleling this morning our experience of just having great mums to what God is like in Christ's likeness and what our mum's behaviour and life has been. And I guess we want to take you to the point this morning of just the revelation that there's a God who loves you, cares for you. A God that has demonstrated his love for you in the greatest way possible, given his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to come and to die in the ultimate way of demonstration of love. And this morning there is a God in heaven who's with us, we're told in Scripture, through his Holy Spirit that he's given us, that wants to reveal that love in a personal way to each person in this room. I think there's two areas this morning, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That anyone in this room who could never experience that kind of personal relationship with God, the acceptance and the experience of God's love, today I'd like to offer you that opportunity. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to become a religious person. I'm not asking you to consider starting a relationship with the creator of the universe, the God Most High. We say that this morning. I am a friend of God. But we can truly only say that because of what Jesus has done for us. If you would like to experience that this morning and say, yeah, Phil, you're Michael again saying that there's stuff in there. I want to experience that. If that's you this morning, there's no one's with you there. You're like, oh, yeah, I'd like to know more, I'd like to experience that. Can you just raise your hand? No one's with you around. If that's you, say, yeah, on this Mother's Day. Yeah, God bless you. Best decision you've ever made in your life. And put your hand down. Is there anybody else there? Yeah, here, Phil. There's a gift you never received. It's a gift of forgiveness, a gift of God's grace, a gift of assurance of eternal life. Last time I was asked, anyone else is here? Yeah. The second category this morning is just relating to maybe just some buttons that were maybe pushed here this morning, and Mother's Day doesn't always bring the greatest of memories for you. And for that, I'm truly sorry. I'd hope for us as a church that we can change your perspective on that. Not that anyone can suddenly become your mother, but just we as a church family can show you real, genuine love. This morning, if there have been buttons pressed in your heart for life this morning, and on the outside, you know, you've got it all going on, but inside it's kind of just churning away a bit. It's none of my business what's happening, but what is my business is to offer you this morning the opportunity for God's grace, his peace, his healing power just to touch your heart. His help, that area of sensitivity and rawness and brokenness and that fracture in your life, allow God even to allow him to start to heal that in your heart, in your life. So you don't have to carry that pain, you don't have to carry that guilt, you don't have to carry that shame. This morning I believe we're praying in our prayer service prayer that people here who need to know that there's a God that comes to heal the broken heart. If that's you today, no one's looking around and I believe this is really, really a sacred moment, right? So please don't look around for you this morning. Just God to start to heal your heart in this area. Your relationship with your mom, and maybe it's just the fact that you just miss her too. I just ask you just to step with faith, and I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and pray. If you're not going to ask you to come down the front, yes, you want to do that after. But is there anybody here this morning say, yeah, I just got to let that God just learn how to heal my heart a bit? Just raise your hand now so I can. Just so sense that God is wanting just wants to tear the power of the people's hearts and minds this morning. There's nothing I can do, but it's a holy, jealous, loving, caring God. those that raise their hands, those that are wrestling, raising their hands, Lord God, whether that's out of pain and hurt, or whether it's out of resentment and anger, all those emotions are okay, right? They are the dominating force in your life. This morning, we just want to release your Holy Spirit into this space and into this time. We release your Holy Spirit to those that their hearts are open right now to you to come. That you just begin your healing work in people's hearts and lives. God, you've seen every tear that has been cried. You know the very questions that bounce and reverberate within people's mind. You've never left or forsaken anyone. You've actually been walking with people every single step of the way. And so this morning, I ask, Father, that you have mercy on these people, that you would extend your grace, you would extend your healing power, and just your power to be released in this room this morning. Your healing balm, your healing oil would be released in this place, that your healing touch would just touch hearts. You see the brokenness, you see the fractures. Come, Holy Spirit, give us you. Heal hearts in this place. Jesus is one of the reasons you came. We honor you and thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.